Good evening. We're having our class on the Jewish home. We had started discussing triangular relationships. Marriage is about building, but it's about building when two people are different. Different in their perspective on life. They try to be as similar as possible, but they're still going to be different. Different in their needs and different in their desires. And when we try to build together, that means there's going to be a lot of compromise. There are going to be a lot of points where you give in to the other side, you reach a conclusion that's different than what you initially thought it would be. And sometimes you try to bring the other side to your side. And that's fine. That's part of what's going to happen in marriage. We're going to talk, we're going to discuss, we're going to try to convince. That's all fine. Sometimes the couple will agree that it's a good idea to ask someone else. Let's see what other people think, what other people have done. Sometimes other people have very good solutions, very good ideas. There were parents who the kid didn't like wearing a yarmulke. So there are all kinds of tips, but one parent told them, why don't you call it his crown instead of his yarmulke? Call it his crown. Ever since they did that, the kid doesn't forgo his crown. Right? Who's going to let go of the crown? The mother sat down with the boy one day and said, hey, you know, you have your Abba and Ima, but you also have your Abba in heaven. He's a king. And you are Ben Melech. You're the son of a king. And because you're Ben Melech, you have a crown. So you better think about it. If you want to forgo that crown, when you wear that crown, you're showing everyone you're the son of a king. So ever since then, when he forgets his yarmulke, the mother goes, hey, you forgot your crown. He runs back and gets that crown. A little tip, and it changed a lot in their chinuch. One less fight. Sometimes parents make aliyah, and then they discover that a lot of the kids in class come home with sandwiches with chocolate spread, and that's considered a nutritious meal for the kids. So your kid comes home, and you're thinking peanut butter spread. And your kid is thinking, no one else shows up with peanut butter spread. And you have all these ideas of protein and other things, but they have a different reality. It helps to hear from another parent that a lot of the kids are showing up to school with chocolate spread. And maybe part of the week you have to succumb to what everyone else is doing. So talking to people isn't a bad thing. It helps us understand. It helps us gain perspective. Talking to people is not a bad thing. It's
stupid because everybody has
dosage. If your kid is coming to Gan every day and he sees all the other kids with chocolate spread and he doesn't have chocolate spread, then the day will come when your kid starts stealing other kids' sandwiches. It will happen. That's not a curse. It's a reality. Okay, maybe your kid not. Many kids will. And if they don't take the sandwiches,
you see in the park, many parents, when they scold, they have a jacket, they have a sweater, the kids have nothing, they run your running noses, afterwards they have an ear infection because they cannot blow their nose.
Okay.
Or the thing that they let the kid go alone, and the kid has to ask some person to help him to cross the street.
Not saying you should do everything.
10%, I see that the kid, when there's nobody there for 2 minutes, he walks over.
I didn't say you should adopt everything you see in the society around you. However, talking to people can sometimes help us see that there's another perspective. When this can become detrimental is either if there's someone who's going to put down our spouse. Sometimes you talk to someone and after the conversation you notice they caused you to see your spouse in a negative light. People like that you should stay away from. And it doesn't matter if it's your parents or your coworker or your sibling or your best friend. You can make it clear to them that they should not talk that way about your spouse. And if you see that they can't stop, then you have to put the relationship on hold. Temper the relationship. Focus on other things. Because your marriage is at the key of building your life. It's the most important thing you have. It's with that you build everything. But then, sometimes we have scenarios where kids know how to play us. And kids learn how to play their parents. Kids learn which question to ask Abba, which question to ask Ima. Once one of the kids asked my wife a question, and I said, no, you can't do that. And another kid said to them, Abba was about to leave the house. We were all waiting one more minute. Why'd you have to ask now? And I was thinking, wow. They were all waiting, right? Fine. It's fine. It's legitimate. It should be that way. It's fine. Kids have to have intelligence. They have to know how to wheel and deal. That's great. There's nothing wrong with that. The problem becomes when parents forget that they, as parents, have to be a unified front. And then parents allow a triangular relationship to develop. And it's tempting. A kid says he wants to stay home from school. How many times have I seen this? The mother says, wait till Abba leaves. The father leaves. The mother says, no problem, come. The father says, no TV. The mother says, wait till your Abba leaves. The father leaves. She turns on the TV. How many times do we see this, that the things evolve into camps in the house where it's the kids and the mother against the father, the kids and the father against the mother. The father is the fun guy. He's willing to let them stay up past bedtime. He can horse around with them. He doesn't deal with them the next morning when they're overtired. Or vice versa. The father is the tough guy and the mother is the fun one. So if they both agree, that's fine. Sometimes you have a situation where the father was away for a month and he just got back, and they both agree that he should take the time with the kids, even though it'll be at the expense of their bedtime. Okay, that's fine. The problem becomes when they disagree. And then they create what we call a triangular relationship, where one of the parent brings the kids to their side in the argument. No one belongs in an argument between you and your spouse, and the last person to bring into such an argument is a child. No one belongs there. People sometimes ask me questions in their marriage, and I say, if you're asking me what I think, it's one thing, but does your wife think you should be asking me what I think? You want to come home and say, oh, the rabbi said we should do this. Maybe we should talk as a threesome. You, your wife, and I, we could think about it together. If your wife is interested in what I have to say, maybe she isn't, and that's legitimate. So when it comes to a couple has to be a unified front. We don't agree, let us work it out. We as a couple that don't agree want a third person's opinion, we can do that. But to have a situation where we don't agree, and now we will force our hand by involving one of the parents, that's a very bad tactic, right? You want to convince your wife she should work less hours. You have good intentions. She wants to work more hours. So what do? You bring it up when you're by your parents. Honey, I really think you should work less hours. Her mother walks in and says, yeah, look at how tired you are. Is that fair? Is that fair? Do you really want her mother in the picture now? Do you really want your relationship to be a threesome? And it goes on and on. Sometimes the husband feels that the wife doesn't appreciate the work he puts in. So when he's by his parents' house, he'll talk about how hard husbands have to work and how it's their work that makes it that they have a livelihood, and wives should be more patient. And then sometimes the parents will chime in. I've heard ridiculous stories that go so far as the parents getting involved in birth control. That the parents think they can actually tell their children when they should and shouldn't have more children. So when you open that door and you allow other people to invade your conversation with your wife, that's wrong. When you bring children into the picture, that's very, very wrong. Again, if as a couple you want someone's opinion, fine. Many couples will say, let's hear this parent of ours' opinion. We value their opinion. So they go to their parent, to the in-law, to the parent. You feel in this area they have a good advice. It could be sometimes in chinuch, it's worthwhile to hear what a parent has to say. It could be sometimes in finance, it pays to hear what a parent has to say. There can be issues that the couple takes counsel. That's great. But that's not the same as the couple having an issue between them and sticking a third party in. There, they should both agree if they want someone else's opinion. We don't stick someone else in. Children, for sure not. Children want to live in a world where Abba's always right and Ima's always right. That's the world they want to live in. Children don't know what to do when there's a contradiction between Abba and Ima. That creates a great schism within the child. The child doesn't know what to do with it. But Abba's always right, and Ima's always right, and Abba and Ima disagree. Intelligent couples take their disagreements to the bedroom. They won't talk about it in front of the kids. Parents have to realize that almost never have you accomplished anything good for the child that outweighs how much you've hurt the child by arguing in front of them. The argument in the presence of the child does things to the child that you might never be able to fix. You want the child to have inner peace. You want the child to live in a world where there's peace. So that means that sometimes you'll have to forgo things. That means that sometimes your wife will tell you a line which you feel is completely wrong and not fair. Your wife will say, "We could have been ready for Shabbos on time, and it's all your fault." And you're thinking, "What did I do?" But you know that if you answer her, oh boy, the fireworks will just go on and on. So what'd you gain? What'd you lose? And then it's very tempting to ask a kid, "Chaim, you saw me standing here for the last hour saying, what can I do to help? You saw me for the last hour working, trying to help?" And that's a big no-no. Don't bring the kid into it. The kids should not be a factor. And very often it's in these scenarios where you think your spouse is being completely ridiculous. You ask your spouse, "Can I make you a cup of tea?" And they don't answer you. You ask your spouse a second time, "Can I make you a cup of tea?" And they don't answer you. You ask your spouse a third time and you say, "You know, I asked you twice, would you like a cup of tea?" And your spouse looks back at you and says, "You didn't ask me." Now it's very tempting to turn to the kid who's sitting right there and ask him, "Chaim, did I just ask mommy three times for a cup, if she wants a cup of tea?" Wait a second, he's an innocent bystander, right? Why shouldn't he give testimony? "I didn't ask him to take him. I just asked him for the facts," right? Wrong. Don't bring him into the picture. He doesn't belong there. It's not fair to him. And I'm talking about when you're right. But it's dead wrong to bring the child into the picture. Again, you could be 100% right. That's not the point. Bringing the child into the picture hurts the child. We are creating something very wrong in the relationship. Abba and Ima's relationship is a unique relationship. I remember once two of my friends were talking and I tried to join. So one of them turned to me and said, "This is a conversation from A to B, so please see your way out." I thought it was a good line. There are conversations that are from A to B, and other people should just see their ways out. They don't belong there. And it's our job to keep it as a conversation between A to B. Yeah. The children, so I wrote a letter about that, about how children should stay out. That's a... Right. So I wrote a letter about that. Remind me. I'll email you a link. I wrote a letter for kids who find themselves there. It's a long answer. It's not a short answer. It's a long answer. I wrote a piece, like 4 pages. If you email me, I'll send you the letter. I wrote like 4 pages for kids who find themselves. It's on my website, yeah. But what the title is, I don't remember. So if you email me, I'll send you a link to the letter. So, we're going to start our next topic. If you guys can write down what it is so that next week we'll remember to pick up here. Okay? Fine.
My mom just sent me a message on Facebook. Hamas prepares for imminent war with Israel in Gaza. And I go like, "Mom, everything is okay."
Wait all the time.
Everything okay.
Airports are closed.
Yeah, what's the next topic?
What about Poland? You get arrested if you say the Poles from the Germans.
So, what's the next topic?
So we finish the triangular.
When there's...
Wait, hello?
Thursday night.
It's not really nice.
It's not our topic now. We're dealing with the Jewish home. So Thursday night. Right.
He said the next topic now.
Yeah. Your wife was at the checkout. And she was at the grocery. And as she was checking out her groceries, she was talking to the woman behind the checkout counter. And she says to the woman behind the checkout counter, "You know, my husband's traveling to the north today." And the woman behind the checkout counter says, "Why?" And she says, "Oh, he's going for a job interview. He's considering leaving his job." And the woman behind the checkout counter goes, "Really?" And you go, "Yeah." The wife goes, "Yeah. He's been thinking of leaving for months now. And finally, he has a very serious offer, and he's going to interview right now." And then she goes to bag her stuff, and she looks over her shoulders, and your current boss's wife was standing right behind her at the checkout counter. Now, you don't know you have the second job, but what she just said in the presence of your current boss can cost you your current job. And she comes home and she tells you what just happened. How do you react?
Thanks for telling me.
So,
good heads up.
The average reaction, "I can't believe you did that." And that is the subject of our next class. I can't believe you did that. Dealing with realities our spouse creates for us that seem almost unbelievable. How do we deal?